You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
If we get football in any capacity in September, I'll be thankful for that, because the reality would be this. That means that we're in a better place then than we are now.
No one truly knows if the football season will start on time. But in some capacity, if we can get it, it will represent what normalcy is in this country at that time of the year. And I think everybody is looking forward to that with hope and needs that.
The NFL is of the hope and the optimistic belief that it can have its season as scheduled. But really, nobody knows at this point, because so much depends on what happens in the coming weeks and months in terms of the situation in the world at large.
I'd love to see sports back, help with cabin fever, but this is not about hopes and dreams and aspirations and what you would like to see. Follow the data, follow the science, let the professional doctor, healthcare professionals tell you when it's safe to reopen, and that's when you reopen.
And now, ready to break down that national championship game, Syracuse in Missouri. Who could have imagined? Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. First of all, the two immaculate runs through the conference tournaments. Missouri just turning the SEC tournament upside down. Nashville ablaze when they stormed through and won. What would they have had to have won? Four, I think.
They managed to sneak through to the second round.
Four games, and of course Syracuse blowing up the ACC to meet and have a championship. You know, 6 o'clock on Saturday, there was an interesting game. Did you happen to catch it, Kay? 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. It was this guy Jerry McNamara was shooting the lights out on the Kansas Jayhawks. Oh, yeah, they had the 88 championship, I think, at four was in there. I think they had a KU law. I think the 12, it was like KU day or something.
Yes.
And they had, like, the 12 game against Kentucky was at, like, 2 or maybe noon. And maybe then they slotted in a game without KU. Then at, like, 4 was KU-OU, or I probably have the times. Maybe I'm all backwards on the times and when they all were. And then at 6 was Syracuse and KU. Good times. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I did.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. And I know somebody told me, I had a friend reach out to me and tell me YouTube was running. I said, YouTube TV? They said, no, just YouTube was streaming the 14 World Series.
Oh, wow.
The 14 wild card game between the Royals and A's.
Sweet. Missed that.
I went there and found that you could just, like, take off and start it whenever. I mean, maybe they're just making those available. But that was going on. I had a friend's like, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm actually watching a movie. I can't remember if it was Remember the Titans. We had a movie night Friday and Saturday. No, I'm sorry. Maybe it was Spring Baking Championship that was going on Friday. I can't remember. And I'm like, I can't. He's like, 6 innings. It's about to get real. You got to turn it on. And I'm like, all right, listen. Let me tell you how real it'll get here with a 9 and 13-year-old girl if I bail on Spring Baking Championship. You know, you got to have your priorities.
Meanwhile, NBA TV was again running Game 7 of the 2013 NBA Finals. There's only been playing, you know, NBA for 60 years, and their NBA greatest game seemed like every time I turn that thing on, it's the 2013 Finals Game 7. It's like, you know, there's been a lot of great basketball games. Maybe you could find something else.
Was that Celtics Lakers? I've lost.
No, that was LeBron over the for the Heat against who was 14? The Spurs.
The Spurs.
Yeah, their comeback and their win. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that was a cool game.
Oh, the one where everybody was trying to get back into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Yes, plenty of replays around. A lot of memories to be had. By the way, I think now I'm thinking about it, I think it might have been the great food truck race. You know, listen, so many cooking shows, they all just start to blend together, you know what I mean?
There's a few.
We can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
Because it's my reality. And if I don't want to laugh, then I can just simply cry. That's all there is to it. But good times had with the family. I hope everybody else is getting some time to bond with family or friends, even if it's just via the video chats. It is day 27 of the program versus COVID-19, the program brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. I-29 and Tiffany Springs, of course, they are practicing the social distancing, but that doesn't mean that you can't still get the Harley-Davidson of your dreams. You can. Even parts. If you need parts, call ahead. Call Worth right now at 816-895-6972. That's 816-895-6972. They can bring the parts out to the corner. Service, just give them a call. Listen, they said, look, email, give us a call, talk to us. We're doing everything we can keep all of our employees safe, but also keep you safe. But there are still ways to get the best motorcycles in the world, and I can think of no better way to socially isolate yourself than on a brand new or beautiful used Harley-Davidson motorcycle. They will get you financed. They will do it all without any direct one-on-one contact. Just call them, 816-895-6972. Find them online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. That's WorthHarleyDavidson.com, W-O-R-T-H, Worth. HarleyDavidson.com, and you can see they've even got some of the bikes, some of the specialty bikes are now in, where there's only like 2,500 of them in the country. They've got one, right? That's how few there are that are out there. It is the Fat Boy 30th anniversary. They've got one. If you want one of the legendary bikes that is on the road today, it is out there. And the Eagle Eye Road Glide Special, a special painting. There's only 900 of those in the world. You can make it yours today at Worth Harley Davidson North. Check them out online, Worth Harley Davidson North. And, of course, if you need to give them a call, ask any questions, 816-895-6972. Full program coming your way. We're going to talk a little bit about the meeting that happened between President Trump and the commissioners of the major sports leagues and entities. I don't know that you're a league when you're a tour, a golf tour, but we will talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Todd Lebo will be with us to play the feud, as well as maybe give us some sounds. I don't know. We'll see. Todd's got some sounds. We hear from the press conference held with President Trump, I believe. Lincoln Riley meeting with the media. We'll talk OU Sooners. We might talk about the odds in each one of the leagues. Still a lot of sports information out there, even if we don't have sports games. But we'll talk to Todd Lebo coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Two-minute drill at 4, and Eric Eager, from Pro Football Focus, the man, the myth, the legend. He will be with us in the 5 o'clock hours. We'll recap all the moves that the Chiefs have made and what it means for everybody. As we, since the last time we spoke to Eric Eager, which was roughly a week ago. So looking forward to getting, I got a friend. Buddy and Duff is on Sunday. Buddy versus Duff, season 2. It's on Sundays for the individual who is wanting to know why I did not mention Buddy versus Duff, because we watched it. It was last night, 8 o'clock. It's stunning that the Petro family doesn't miss the cooking shows. I know it's an upset. If you saw me, you'd be like, what? Aren't you watching, like, the fitness channel all the time? Actually, no. It'll stun you.
There's a number of variables involved there. Your daughters love to watch the shows they're interested in, and you, of course, like the food. Same reason
I
watch the Guy Fieri show on Friday nights. Oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks good, too.
Well, and my wife's a tremendous cook,
no kidding.
Both my girls cook with my wife, so they're into the cooking, so it happens. Let's start with the meeting that occurred, President Trump meeting with the sports leagues, and we don't generally get into politics, right? But this isn't really politics, it's just a meeting. President Trump coming away from this meeting with the NFL, the MLB, PGA, WWE, NASCAR, hockey, MLS, you know, all the commissioners of all the different sports entities. I didn't think anybody was not represented there. I didn't think, oh, God, boy, they really put you in your place. But basically, you know, maybe the IndyCar League didn't have their representative there, right? I feel bad for
them. Hi-Li, you know, World Hi-Li.
No Hi-Li. Didn't see any Hi-Li. But they had WNBA. I think they pretty much got the bulk of the highest-ranking leagues that are out there together. And the message was, the initial takeaway first was, the president wants sports to lead the way in bringing America back to some normalcy, and he wants the fans in the stands for NFL football and for it to start on time. September 10th, I think it is, would be the Chiefs game, right? Is that a Thursday?
I think 13th
is maybe the Sunday. But that's what he wants to happen. And so,
yeah, the 10th.
Listen, I've heard it. I just heard the guys, Jason Anderson, say, you know, hey, good to have some optimism. Right? Is it really going to happen? I don't know. We were asked that question last night by Mick Schaefer on Sunday Sound Off. Myself, multi-background talent Josh Briscoe. If you happen to catch Sunday Sound Off, you'll notice that he had an array of backgrounds for our Zoom Sunday Sound Off. And then the newly buzz cut peanut hoodie wearing Sam Mellinger. And we were asked, what percentage chance that the NFL starts on time? I'll give you guys, I'll tell you what the three of us settle with, but what percentage chance would you guys give the NFL starting on time the way we sit right now? Just had a meeting. President Trump's optimistic, wants to see the fans. What do you think?
I think coin flip. There's some issues with, I think that could present itself as they walk their way up to that. I still think it's any better than a coin flip right now.
Okay, so 50-50 you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Jedro?
Going on par with my general negative attitude, I would probably put it closer to 40-60 no NFL starting, just because I think that there's so many variables. And one of the things during our pre-show meeting, extensive, starting at, what was it when you called me today, Sir, around 2 in the morning?
Yeah, I think that's what we started.
So we put in 12 hours before we even get going. But I think
the meeting lasts 11 hours, so we have to.
Yes. But I think that the apprehension of what people are going to experience, wanting to, if they do want to go back to things like that. And as we've spoken about before, even if the individuals are all quarantined as a team, it only takes one individual. And I think secondarily, when you have 22 to 35-year-old men with a lot of testosterone, for them to not try and get out and about if the conditions are able to get out and about, I think that they're just going to be exposed to too many risks. So I see the variables being too much.
All right. Last night, Mick took it in order, and it actually ended up going down from top to bottom in optimism. By the way, I do love how I said, what percentage chance the league starts on time? And you said, I'll take it 40-60 to the don't, which I'm like, I'm not even sure. Does that mean 40% don't or 60% don't?
60% don't. I'm not well-spoken, okay, which is good since I work in radio.
Yeah, I thought that was like you almost, based on how the question was worded, couldn't have been more confusing. But I think we got your overall negative tone. Josh Briscoe said 60-40 yes, and I was like, okay, that's good.
Pollyanna.
My view was kind of just exactly the same as Curtis's. I was like, I don't know, right? How could I possibly know? And frankly, at this point, who does? You know, I certainly understand the president. I think it'd be great to have our sporting events lead it and everybody to be back in the stadiums and we're all healthy and safe. But a couple of things that I think aren't there. Number one, I think there's been at times an overly optimistic approach by some when it comes to, well, we're just going to be back, right? So considering the source is something you have to do, and I think the president has been one that's wanted to find the next possible day, you know, that everybody can be back and that's it, so that we can hang our hat on it. And I think then we sit and wait and we see what happens and what evolves and what changes, and it ends up not being the case. I don't think there's any danger in being optimistic. I don't. But I think a realistic approach would mean much more of, we don't know, right? 7 days from now, every 7 days, how much have things changed? Now, here's where I'm optimistic, and this isn't really sports, but I take it back. You know, we started with, you know, well, we're going to play the Big 12 tournament. No, it's going to be okay. Well, we're going to play without fans. Well, we're not going to play it. We're not even going to play the NCAA tournament. It has just been a constant getting worse scenario.
And that was in a 12-hour period, by the way. Everything you just mentioned.
Well, because I think we finally opened our eyes and started saying, what are the real facts? I think it could have been over 12 weeks previous to that. But we as Americans, and listen, you can pick whichever politicians you want to blame. It's on all of us. None of us wanted to hear we were going to have to shut the country down. So it wasn't like we were driving the train for what is the real information. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not absolving our government leaders. They're the ones that are supposed to think that way for us, right? That's why we pay taxes. We give you taxes to be on top of that stuff, okay? That's what you're supposed to be on top of. So when you tax me, then you have the things that we're ready to go. But it's a failure across the board for all of us, that includes us, because we elected all these people. So there's nothing that we have to you know, stand and point. We all share a role in this. This country is ours. It's not just ours when it benefits us. It's ours when we miss the boat on something, right? So we all have to wear it for where we are today. But where I'm optimistic, so I don't know. I do know this. It's generally been the longer we wait, the worse it gets. But we haven't gotten to the worst point. And so I am optimistic that once we get over that hump, which maybe New York is going to get to this week. I know there's dire predictions of death tolls rising quickly, which is something we've known is coming based upon the amount of people that were testing positive. So this is not a new development. It's simply we've arrived at that point on the timeline that's there. It's going to be a horrific time. It's going to suck. And I know if your family's not affected by it, and us here in the Midwest are not affected the way people are on the East Coast. I've got friends on the East Coast. I know what's going on. I've got a friend whose sister is going to be called into Manhattan as a nurse and going to be gone for, I think it's 27 days from her family, young family, and she's going to be there. She's got to live at the hospital 3 days on, one day off, 3 days on, one day off, and she's got to bunk with the same person once they assign you. That's it. You two are living together so that you don't contaminate anybody else. And all the precautions that are going, and they are terrified as a family because she's got young kids, right? And the husband works for New Jersey Transit, so he actually will be gone at times, and there are lots of people who have sales jobs that are similar to this. He'll be gone for a day or two at a time, and what's to happen with the kids when she's gone for 27 days, and then he picks up his shift on the trains and is gone for 2 days?
Yeah.
Right? Now, maybe that speaks to a few of you here in town, right? I don't know anybody in town that's like that, but I'm sure there's somebody working for, you know, the railroads or wherever it might be, that scenario, healthcare professional along with somebody who has to be out of the house, right, in an essential capacity. I'm sure most sales have become by telephones now, and travel of salespeople is, for the most part, probably been shut down. But there are people. This family is one where basically they're civil servants, for lack of a better term, you know, on both sides, right? So I get that. That's real. I understand that fear. I fear. I say a prayer for Karen. It's my buddy's sister. You know, that fear is real in my heart, right? So I understand at least as much as you can as a friend of, right, as opposed to it being your child, your daughter that's got to go do this. But there is a moment of optimism for me that we are going to crest, perhaps, in New York, and that perhaps things will start going the other direction. As much as the bad news seemed to come quicker and faster early on, will the good news be the same kind of snowball effect? We've come over the top. Listen, and I'm not going to dig in and do a COVID analysis. I don't know what's coming. I know what they say. I know where it is. And I know this. This is the next factor of it. If we're talking about fans in the stands, right? If that's what we're talking about, is getting fans in the stands, when are you going to feel comfortable going and sitting in a stadium with 69, 70,000 other people? When are you going to be comfortable?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's not the first day they say all clear. That's not going to be my first day. So listen, I have a balancing act here of where I believe that if we can ever get by the worst of it, we'll start to feel more like we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and perhaps the good news will pile up. I also have tremendous confidence. I have a friend that works for one of the pharmaceutical companies who was explaining to me how they're working towards trying to find a vaccine. To me, the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card, when we're all going to feel better, is when I've been vaccinated for it, when my kids have been vaccinated for it, okay? When I've gone and I know that I am no longer, my family is no longer at risk, then I'll feel more comfortable about going to an NFL stadium and watching a game. But you can have the game. You can even open the stadium, but how many are going to go? And is there, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000? Like, what percentage are going to go? I don't know. Those are complete unknowns. That's why I kind of have downgraded myself from coin flip to, you know, coin flip to 40, maybe where Jed is. I'm somewhere between Curtis and Jed. I am optimistic. I am optimistic in the human spirit. I am optimistic in our intelligence as a species that the cure will be found faster. And Jason made a good point. He said, listen, when people are working on different cures and they're splintered about, the entire world is centered on this. This has become our focus, right? This is what we're working to fix. And when the entire globe and the entire species puts its mind to it, what is it capable of? I don't know, because I've never seen it. And frankly, I don't think we're there yet, that we're all working together. Not when I hear problems in bidding wars over getting the supplies that we need. Now, it doesn't mean that someone's working against. It just means we haven't got it all together to where we can figure this out. I would think billions of people putting their minds together to solving a single problem would be a very powerful weapon against this. I just don't know when we're actually going to be able to do that. I think we aspire to it. I think we want to do it. I think most of us want to do it, want to work together, right? But it's complicated. It is. It's not easy. It's not easy to take nations that compete for resources, nations that compete economically, and say, okay, now take off the gloves and walk arm in arm down this aisle so that we can work together. I think you're a fool if you think overnight everything that has been done, everything that's been built as far as the structure of a global economy and how it works is suddenly going to be fixed with a wave of a wand. We need it to. Man, can we use a wand? We definitely need it to. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I balance optimism with that, yes, I think we will grow closer and closer together, and I think if we can get the worst of it behind us, we will start to see some positive signs, and hopefully that will snowball, but I think it's an absolute unknown. And when you consider the factors of, you know, Rudy Gobert tested positive and they shut an entire league down. Like, if Patrick Mahomes tested positive and you took the Chiefs off the field, what, everybody now gets a win against the Chiefs and they sit it out for the next 2 weeks in seclusion and waiting to then all test negative? Like, the logistics of it seem overwhelmingly and almost entirely impossible, but I have faith in mankind. I have faith in this country. I have faith in the people of this country, and I do think where there's a will, there's a way, but I don't know that where there's a will, there's a way right now, that there's a way right when we want it. And so I think the most important part is honesty about what's going on, information, knowledge about what's going on, and a cohesive, collective effort to work together and find the solution. Because to me, the solution is a vaccination. As much as I'd like to think that, well, the numbers are coming down, so let's all get back together. I'm not. You won't see me there.
Nope.
And you can get
second
pissed
wave.
At me that I won't. Yeah, you won't get pissed. You can get pissed at me that I won't go or take my family to a movie. But I'm not. As I stand here right now, the information that I have at hand is, you know, I may get out and about, and we may shop more than once every 3 weeks. We may come out of the house more than once every 3 weeks. We just had to make our first grocery run. Thank you to our friends at Hen House, who are doing a phenomenal job. By the way, a phenomenal job is Hen House. But we just went and shopped basically for two generations, you know, ourselves, my wife's parents, and my mom, right? And she went, my wife went because it was her opinion, just one of us should go out in case something, she would get ill so that I can take care of the kids. So she's like, listen, you don't know where anything is. I'm the one who does all the shopping. I'll go, right? I don't need you calling me every aisle going, well, is it this one or this one, which is what usually happens when I'm sent to the store because, you know, listen, there is a certain one. We know there is a certain Velveeta she wants, and we don't want to bring back the wrong one because we're just going to be driving back. So at the Velveeta aisle, I call. You know, at every aisle, I call. Well, you said white onions, but do you mean this onion or that onion? Right? So she went. Hey, listen, that's it. You know, I do think that there are stages that we're going to come back, but I don't think it's open the doors in 80,000 in Cowboy Stadium. I don't think that's it. And so I am optimistic that they can find a way to play NFL football. But I don't see how right now. It doesn't mean that there isn't a way and that smarter people haven't already figured it out, or that times will change and we will get whatever we need. But as of right now, I just don't see it.
No, there's just something. I mean, just simply on uncertainty, even if you don't put anything, if you go through the particulars that you just went through, just on the basic level of uncertainty, how could you have it better than 50-50?
No, we don't.
You start 50 to me, look at like a realistically and begin to drive down. You said positivity is fantastic, and there's no harm in being positive about it, as long as the people who are in charge of executing the plan have every contingency figured out. Then yeah, I'm okay with being positive, but I mean,
I'm okay with 50-50. I can't see how. No offense to Josh, maybe he changes mind now. Josh Briscoe, who yesterday said 60%. 50-50 to me is optimistic. You know, I mean, that's why I say, listen, are we going to find that, you know what, the people who, beyond those that are already ill or have immune systems that are compromised, you know, it's these blood types that are more susceptible. Listen, and I'm making something up that I know has nothing to do with it, but I'm just saying, who knows what they will figure out. I do believe science is absolutely, we know it's absolutely at its high water mark and always is, because science is built upon what they've already known. So they're always getting better and smarter. And I have great optimism that our scientists, that our doctors, our medical professionals, that our scientists will be finding something. But listen, I love the fact that there was a conversation had. I do think sports is a massive amount of our economy. I do think entertainment is a massive amount of our economy. And I mean, if you just figure out it's crippling my business, right? It's crippling Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're doing everything we can. We love our great sponsors. A lot of our sponsors are still doing great business, right? All of them. And we want you to safely, please, keep reaching out to our businesses. Listen, if you are in an essential job and you're driving and your car's not going, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC is there for you. Go online to robertbrogdon.com. You can get a new vehicle without ever actually being face-to-face with anybody, right? So you can do it. And, you know, we want you to do that. We want everyone to be safe first and foremost, right? But it is harming all of sports media. Just turn on ESPN, right? Every one of these television networks that are dedicated solely to sports. But think about this. What event? Nothing is going on at Sprint Center, right?
Yeah.
The P&L, all these different events. We know about restaurants. People have talked about, you know, our great restaurants and supporting them with takeout food. Yes, absolutely, right? But they're being affected as well. There are so many avenues that are being affected by this, and I just don't think it's going to be a flipping a switch that turns it back on.
And you mentioned one thing I think that resonates the most with me is the contingency plans moving forward. Say they manage to get 1,600 NFL players COVID-19 negative by September 1st, ready to rock. Everyone's been tested. That's going to take a lot of testing, by the way. Week two, someone shows up, they get it from a relative or someplace they went. They didn't have to get it from another player. They get it from someplace else. 1, 2, 3, pop up, positive. You have to go back and test every single player again. For every time you get a positive test, you got to test everyone else again. And maybe they aren't showing, they're not registering yet. Maybe the test is off. How do you get your arms around that for the entire season moving forward? That's what's one of the great logistical, would be one of the great logistical achievements in the history of sports, to somehow contain that and not have it become deadly.
All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL making it official. They will draft, but it will be remotely. So they are now making plans to do it. I love the fact that they're going to draft, and I think this is the NFL giving us some normalcy, so I applaud them. I applaud them in, one, protecting all the people by keeping them at home and adhering to the social distancing in place, but also, you know, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to suck. Brett Veach's job sucks, to have to try to do the draft without all of the resources that he's used to having. But all 32 teams have got to do it, and America could use the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks. We here at Sports Radio 810 WHB can use the NFL draft. I'll be flat out honest as hell, and we can't wait for it. We absolutely can't wait for it. I can, because then on the other side of that is OTAs and minicamps that aren't going to happen. So in some ways, you know, somebody's like, well, why are you wishing for it? Why don't you have them push it back? Then you still got something to talk about. Oh, we'll talk about the draft. Trust me. We will talk about the draft even after it's gone. But the NFL making the announcement that they will draft, but it will be remotely. The facilities won't be open. That's what they're going to do. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. And then get into what to expect from the draft, taking a look back. ESPN's done some great research looking back at last year's draft, what we can glean from that for expectations, and does that give us a clue as to what maybe the Chiefs should be doing or at least looking for if they do indeed end up having to trade Chris Jones. 913-3-810-810, the phone number, 913-3-810-810. We will take a break, come back, talk a little more football here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Do I got to smack you in the back of the head to get you to tell me whatever the hell it is you're trying to say out the front of your mouth?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a, at least it's warming up, Monday edition of the program. NFL draft is going to happen. They're going to do it all digitally. And Curtis, we're going to have a meeting. How the hell are we going to do a pregame show?
Oh, boy.
Where there's a will, there is a way.
We'll figure it out because you know what we do? We figure stuff out here.
That's what we do.
The program.
We figure some crap out. That's what's going to go on here. We will figure some crap out. listen, couple of the notes from the NFL as they announced on the draft. We want all NFL personnel to comply with government directives and to model safe and appropriate health practices. Basically, they're talking about all the different things, that they want people to do. It says, accordingly, all clubs should dedicate their personnel and technology resources towards preparing for a fully virtual draft with personnel in separate locations. Our staff and events, football operations, information technology, and management council will be in contact with each club and remains fully available to answer questions or assist in your preparations. Our understanding is that many clubs are already well advanced in preparing for a virtual draft and that we are confident that all the clubs can take the necessary steps to make the 2020 draft a successful event. And this is the commissioner. I have spoken to many of you in the past several days, recognize the challenges facing all of us. We're operating in an environment unlike anything we've experienced before, one that requires flexibility, patience, and cooperation. As we work through those challenges together, we should not lose sight of the magnitude of this global health crisis, of the extraordinary work of first responders, healthcare workers, and so many others, of the growing number of Americans in need of assistance, and of those who have lost family or friends to this virus. I think a very responsible decision by the NFL. I think, really, frankly, the only one. And I think I give them credit. They're doing it in advance, far enough in advance. I guess one of the things, any company out there, you need to be giving your employees as much notice as you can so that they can prepare to do their jobs. If you're going to change their pay, if you're going to change their duties, if you're going to ask different things of them, as much honesty and transparency as you can possibly provide for your employees, I think every employee will thank you, and it'll be that much easier for them to do their job properly, constructively, right, and productively, mm-hmm. If they know what it is that they've got to do. It's one of the reasons why now that we have some clear clarity, that's the word. Now that we have some clarity about how the draft is going to work, we can go about preparing ourselves for our draft show. It's one of our babies. One of the things we love to do is to do the draft show. And myself and Tim Grunhard and Curtis getting together and going through the picks and bouncing back and forth between the national coverage and our local coverage, what each pick means for the Kansas City Chiefs. And who knows, by then the Chiefs may have traded away their first-round pick, right? They may have traded down with their first-round pick. But either way, we have some clarity here, and I appreciate the NFL giving us that clarity and allowing us to begin working what we need to do to put on a draft show, which I'm very much looking forward to.
And so if someone says, well, you know, two guys can't gather at someone's home. What if they practice social distancing? Well, if you allow that, then other teams are put in something of a disadvantage because then they either have to choose, do we do that? Do we risk our safety, or do we – stay in separate. You didn't want to put any kind of situation where another team feels compelled to do something that could be risky to achieve less than a competitive disadvantage. So it's good to everyone from their own home. That's the way we do it. Everyone has the exact same setup, and we rock and roll on April 25th, 2 weeks from Thursday. How about that?
I'd like to point out that basically what's happening is my fantasy baseball league has been a trailblazer as the, I don't know, is it still the Sports Fan? It started out as the Sports Fan because that's where I worked at the time and had guys worked at Sports Fan, or if we switched it to WHP. League of Morons, okay? We are a league of morons is what we are coming together. We have had a one-person-only drafting rule for decades. Okay, decades. And at least one, when we got pissed and somebody kept bringing in a partner, like, no.
Stop.
No. One guy. Now, the Weinsteins tried to circumvent that this year, we believe, as they were one of a couple of teams that didn't get on the Zoom. And so we couldn't see if the two of them were working together. Now, the fact that one was in Brooklyn and one was in Kansas City, I think we've got a pretty good idea they weren't together. But but who knows, right? Who knows? They didn't get on the Zoom. So, Kyle, I'll forever wonder, Kyle Weinstein, if you had Jack right there with you working together. We'll always wonder, you know, if you win, there'll be a protest if we even have a season. But
the Weinsteins are crafty.
I do want to point out they are. They are, you know. We've known Jack for a long time, and he's a crafty one. But I do take great pride in the fact that if Brett Veach has to go this alone, welcome to my world, Brett. Welcome to the high-pressure world of drafting alone, okay? Not having a quote-unquote draft room or war room to have around you for support. Just having to man up and either draft or, in auction cases of fantasy sports, bid on your players to just live or die on your own choices. I'd like to see every general manager do that. I'd like to see him have to be in a room of isolation, you know, sheets all around him, books all around him, computers all around, whatever they want, but just one guy. Let's sit down and let's make it happen. And they're trying to talk trades while they're, you know, making their pick and whatnot. I think that would be absolutely fantastic theater.
Yeah, and some people would say that it would look at this as if it was like a low-scoring game. The lower scoring the game, the less likely that the better team wins, and that this setup would maybe push the franchises together as far as their ability. I think it's just the other way around. I think particularly when it is the first thing coming up on the calendar that organizations will have to contend with, I think the best organizations are going to be the best prepared and will have the best plan for dealing with this thing that's been lobbed into the middle of their sport. And I think they will shine. I actually think that you'll see a wider divergence in how the good organizations handle this as opposed to the bad organizations. I don't think you'll see a narrowing of it.
And by the way, Curtis, I'll alert you. You forgot to tally on the first round, the individual breakouts.
I did.
That's all right. I did it while we were talking. 6-6, 6-6, 12-8. Those are your tallies. I just checked it. 6-6, 12-8. So you can add that into your sheet when you save it there.
Cool.
And that gets us to our next point, what I'm talking about. Curtis has broken down a sheet. ESPN's done a great job. And listen, kudos to our brothers out there in the media and sisters that are writers, because there's been a lot of great written content. So, you know, I'm a big fan of all the mediums, television, you know, radio, print. I enjoy all the mediums that are out there, and I'm sure the folks that are covering, I'm not qualified to throw kudos around for the media that's covering the COVID and the government and all that, but I know they're doing great work as well, as a lot of great journalism going on right now. I know ours over here in the candy store of life is difficult, not because our subject is difficult, like we're not dealing with the death toll. It's difficult because they're not playing freaking games. So how do you come up with something that's relevant? I know our challenge that we carry forward every day. But one of the ones that ESPN did that I've really enjoyed is they got all of their insiders, like Adam Teicher. Adam is the one who has commented on the Chiefs. And they basically gave them, since it's only 1 year into the draft, they went through the 2019 draft. Even though you have called it the 20 draft, Curtis. It is,
I did,
19,
didn't I?
Yeah. Noticing a lot of editing I'm doing here.
Document 19.
But you know, here's a thought. maybe when I throw something your way that requires like a massive amount of work, give you more than 18 minutes to do it, the results might be better.
I titled the document correctly.
Yeah.
But then I put the wrong. I also didn't take the time to slide the first round tab over to front.
Yeah, I did that too. I thought that went without you know, I could cover that part. Just like I got the deals. But listen, so what they did, and it's a fun read if you love football and to read each player. They went through and they broke them into four categories. Every draft pick in the first round, they did one story on the first round, then they did another story on the second round. What they did was they reached out to each one of their reporters, each one of their team reporters. So Adam Teicher's the guy for the Chiefs. And they asked him to grade the team's pick in the first round, or picks, and then did it again for the second round under four categories: star, on his way, starter, or lots to prove. All right? So I would say three out of the four are good, right? If you're a star, you're already a star. Mm-hmm. Give you an idea. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to agree with these, but these are the individuals that cover their teams. If anything, I would assume that they would tend to be a little bit homerish, okay? Just because I think you're inclined to see the positive. You've talked like, what, at a 30,000-foot view, you asked me about Kyler Murray, I'd say he's got lots to prove, right? They've got him as a star. Right, I'd settle for starter. He warrants starter. I'd probably land on starter.
Yeah.
They've got him as a star. Kyler Murray's not. If he's a star, what the hell is Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
Right?
Which is what you run into when you've got 32 different sets of criteria.
Yeah, he's a star because they're counting on him getting better, right? He had a pretty good first year, and they just count on him getting better. Well, so did the Cleveland Browns. Right, the Browns thought Baker Mayfield was only going to get better. So I will say that I think the grades tend to be a little bit overly positive, but they are by people who are by their nature supposed to be unbiased and supposed to take a critical eye. Now, I think you get the benefit of the doubt because they're sitting there talking to coaches or front office people that are like, well, yeah, he didn't really do this well, but with another year in the weight room or another year with the coaching staff and all this, and he really came on at the end. So I think you're probably getting the betterment, you know, the benefit of the doubt, right? Everybody loves the Chiefs pick until he just absolutely proves that he sucks. Then he's the worst person that ever lived. That's just the very nature of things. In the first round, here's what I think is interesting. In the first round, they had six stars, six that are on their way, theoretically, to being a star, 12 that are starters, and eight that they classified as having lots to prove. All right, so that means 24 of 32, okay? 24 of 32 were starters or better. So in the second round, you expect a drop-off, right? And we see a drop-off. But this is my point about liking the second round, why I would almost always be looking to trade down into the second round. I definitely like the idea of moving up in the second round. But I also like the third round. That's my second favorite round. My third favorite round is the first round because, to me, you can get real value there, and they come with super cheap contracts. If you hit on guys in later rounds, they're going to be cheap against your cap. All right, so here's the comparison first round to second round. In the first round, they had six stars, okay? Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Devin White, the linebacker from LSU that went to the Bucs, Josh Allen, defensive end from Kentucky that went to the Jags, Ed Oliver, right, the Bills defensive tackle from Houston, and then Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama that went to the Raiders. They were picks 1, 2, 5, 7, 9, and 24. They had six stars. In contrast, in the second round, they had three. All right? When it comes to on their way, they had six that were on their way. They were picks 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 21, all right there in the middle of the first round. Second round had eight that are on their way, okay? And they're 36, 40, 41, 48, 50, 53, 56, and 61, right? Give you an idea. They're kind of sprayed all over the board. But the important thing I think to think about is star or on his way to being a star, right? There were 12 in the first round. In the second round, there were 11. All right, starters in the first round, there were 12. In the second round, there were 9. right, at the end of the day, the starter or up in the first round count, again, is 24 of 32. So three out of every four are a starter or better on those teams. And look, some of those starters will probably trickle down. They're getting to start just because they were picked, so they're putting them in there. And when they start sucking or they get another draft or two and free agency to draft over them or sign over them, they'll end up pulling them out of the starters. So maybe even some of them will fall down. But it's 20 of 32 in the second round. Okay, four less, 24 down to 20, right? And yet you pay way less. Think about that. Think about where it is. The caliber of talent that you're getting is not that much worse than what you're getting in the first round, but comes at a fraction of the price. And if you're trading picks, you can trade that first for seconds and more. They come with more. This is the whole thing about Chris Jones as well. We'll talk about that. We come back. We'll wrap up on this. We're going to talk more about this today because I think it's an important thing to look at how good the second round is and why if the Chiefs would move down from 32 to, say, 38 and pick up a third or a fourth in here, why that would be good business and why it could be good business, even better business, to move Chris Jones for multiple second-round picks than the first-round pick at 13 that the Colts got gave up for DeForest Buckner. We'll do that next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking, king of my jungle, just a gangster stalking.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Todd Lebo coming up in our next hour. We'll play The Feud, wonderful, authentic Neapolitan-style pizza from Il Lazzarone, what we will be playing for, one of your great local restaurants. You can get your takeout from Il Lazzarone. I'm talking about the depth in the second round. One thing that kind of jumps out at me, Curtis, as we look at this, is where the kind of the fall off
yes.
starts to kick in. And it's right around 50 where it gets a little dodgy, and definitely mm-hmm. after 56 it gets a little bit thinner, which is one of the things that I think is really impressive about the job done by Brett Veach. When it started getting a little dicey, that's when he started picking as they moved up to get Mecole Hardman at 56. He is the last guy that's listed as a starter or better, and he's listed as on his way to being a star, according to Adam Teicher. I would put him at starter caliber, right, because I think you go three wide and his big plays warrant more than just what the total yardage and production was, because when he made plays, they were big plays.
Yeah.
But then J.J. Arcega, Whiteside, Tristan Hill, Paris Campbell, Nasir Adderley, all listed as lots to prove. Taylor Rapp, safety from Washington, goes to the Rams. He's listed as on his way. Andy Isabella, wide receiver, Massachusetts, lots to prove. And then Juan Thornhill, listed as a starter. I'd actually give him more of a star caliber mm-hmm. grade at Juan Thornhill.
At least
Thornhill.
On his way.
Yeah, I think he was at least on his way, and I thought he deserved perhaps a Pro Bowl last year for them. So I think he's going to be a great one. That does speak to the job that Brett Veach did, because you see when you see it in a chart form how it starts to get thinner down there at the bottom of that second round. The sweet spot to me is 50 and up.
Yeah, because right? there's actually kind of two breakoffs. You mentioned 50 and down where it breaks off, but 42 and up, the first 10 picks of the second round are really good. That's
yeah,
a really
yeah.
sweet spot.
There's only one guy, Greg Little, offensive tackle from Carolina, that's listed as lots to prove. But when you read the write-up on him, his lots to prove is that he had two concussions.
Yeah.
Right? He was moving in as a starter, but he had two concussions. Now, I think you see how worried teams are about the concussion and whether or not a player will be able to play, because they went out and traded for Russell Okung to play left tackle, and that's what Greg Little was drafted for. So they've kind of given themselves some depth at that spot, but he appears to be a guy that's going to fit into that role as a starter as well. He's the only one in the top, 52 picks? Top 42 picks, I guess it is. Top 42 picks. He's the only one that wasn't grading in that mm-hmm. 33 to 42. So I even think there's more positive to it. To me, the second round is the sweet spot of the draft. Get as many of them as you can, and preferably as high in the second round as you can go as well.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, how many teams have shot fewer than 40 shots in an NCAA championship game? Brought to you by Good Sense.